Mark chapter 10. The message today is the book of beginnings. My assignment this month is the book of Genesis. But before we read from Genesis, I want to read two passages from the Gospel of Mark, which are comments by our Savior on the book of Genesis. And so first of all, Mark chapter 10, look at verse 4. They said, Moses permitted to write a bill of divorcement and to put his wife away. But Jesus said unto them, For your hardness of heart, God wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of the creation, male and female made he them. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Please notice, verse 6, from the beginning of the creation, male and female made he them. Chapter 13. Verse 19. For those days shall be tribulation, such as there hath not been the like from the beginning of the creation, which God created until now, and never shall be. Now, Genesis 1. It might be profitable to simply read all of Genesis 1 and 2. But I shall read verses from these chapters, starting at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Verse 9. And God said, Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth put forth grass, herbs yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, wherein is the seed thereof upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herbs yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit, wherein is the seed thereof after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Verse 20. And God said, Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moveth, wherewith the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after their kind, and every animal after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. and now on the sixth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Chapter 2, verse 6. But there was a mist that went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, look at verse 21. God has said, it is not good for man to be alone. Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and clothed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the book from which we've read. We rejoice, our God, because it illumines us. The entrance of thy word giveth light. And from what we have read, Father, our souls have been filled with light. We pray, our God, that you shall give additional light upon the portions that have been read, that by thy Spirit they shall be made real, they shall be made living as they are, our God, and that our coming together shall not have been in vain. Father, that thou wouldst empower thy servant to speak as you would have him to speak, and prepare the hearts of those who are listening that they might be blessed. We look to thee for good. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There is no more appropriate title I could give to this message than the Book of Beginnings, because the word Genesis itself means beginning, beginnings. Bereshit, that's the first word, in the beginning, and it says God created the heavens and the earth. So Genesis is a book of beginnings. It tells us how things started. It tells us how they were brought into existence. And for that reason, it is of incalculable value if it is true. Now, I tell you it's true. In my simplicity, I have embraced it all as a revelation from God. But in this town and throughout the country and the world, there are those who would look upon the book of Genesis as a book of myths, a book of stories, things that have been made up throughout the ages, and we've received it in the form that it is now. That is why before I read from the book of Genesis, I read the comments of the Son of God, who said he came from heaven. And no less than twice he mentions the creation in the book of Genesis. And if this is so, if I am one who is depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ to get me to heaven, he has explained to me the spiritual condition of the heart of man. He has explained to me what is necessary for God to accept me into heaven, and I have believed that he was able to satisfactorily tell me the truth concerning these things. What must I have as an estimate of him if he has told me about the creation in which I find myself, and he doesn't know what he is talking about? And that is why, if the whole world gave me its argument against the book of Genesis, and I turned to the Lord Jesus and said, Savior, tell me what you think about the book of Genesis. And our Savior said, it is true. I would look at the world and say, I believe the Savior. Now, as to whether God created the heavens and the earth, only those who have been told that, only God who was there in the beginning and brought it into existence, is able to tell you about it. If you ask me where I was born, how long ago I was born, I would be able to tell you that, but I would be telling you what my mother told me. I was there, but I know nothing about it for certain. And in like manner, if you look at this universe and you wonder where it came from, and you look at yourself and you wonder where you came from, you have to have somebody who was there when it happened to tell you. And that is why I read from the book of Genesis, and that is why I read from the Gospel of Mark, because as this portion in the book of Genesis develops, we understand that the one who spoke of creation once and again in Mark is the one who created all this universe. There are two books that begin in the beginning. Listen to Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Listen to the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, what has happened is this, that God has begun the book of Genesis with in the beginning, and he has begun the profound gospel of John with the same words in the beginning. And the difference is this. I read to you God speaking. And this is what happens when God creates. First of all, there is the thought. There is speech. There is will. And then there is power. God thinks. He speaks. He wills. And he pronounces. And there is power in his pronouncement. And this is what he says when he is about to create man. Let us create man in our image after our likeness. Notice, let us. That's a strange thing when there is one God. And at that time, please understand that I am giving you the fullness of revelation. At that time, no one knew what that meant. But our God said this, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And at that time, and until we knew about the Lord Jesus Christ, it would mean this, that God in the plenitude of his attributes, his powers, his potentialities, God is speaking that way, let us make man in our image after our likeness. But then we discover, even in this first chapter, that when God said that, it says the Spirit of God was brooding upon the waters. And God asks a question in the book of Proverbs about this creation. He says, tell me what is God's name and what is his son's name? And these are mysterious things for generations and generations until finally we come to the New Testament and God is manifest in the flesh. And when he is, it is recorded after those that served with him his stay on earth, the days of his flesh. John sits down and writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. And this is a profound thing that is discovered from the Psalm that is quoted in Hebrews. The Lord Jesus says, he weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. And I cried, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. And then this is the answer of God. He said, in the beginning, you created the heavens and the earth. And it said, the universe is the work of thy hands. The universe shall perish, but thou continuest. Thou shalt have no end. And then finally, all comes together, that there is a Father, there is a Son, and there is a Holy Spirit, and in a way that is incomprehensible, they are God, one God. But in Genesis, it is simply the Father that we think about. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I told you that where I came from and my beginnings, they have to be told me by someone else. And in like manner, the world in which you find yourself and this universe, it had a beginning, but you have to be told that by someone else. And the remarkable thing is this, that the first man was told where he came from by God, and he was told where his wife came from by God, because when the woman was presented to him, he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. The only way he could have known that, because he had been fallen into a deep sleep, God had to tell him. And God told him where he came from, as he shall tell him again. When man is going to sin, God tells him how small he is. If I desire, I can exalt man before you. And if I desire, I can humble man before you. I tell you, exalting man, that he has been created in the image and likeness of God. He is superior to all creation. He is to have dominion over God's creation. And yet, when he sins, God says this. He says, you are made from the dust of the ground. Dust you are. And unto dust are you going to return. How humiliating that one who is created in the image of likeness of God, when sin enters in, God says, you are nothing but dust, and all that you are, I imparted to you. But at least we learn this, that God has told man where he came from and how he made him. And for that reason, what we find in Genesis 1 and 2 is not a scientific explanation of how God did it. Because if he expressed it that way, then the Word of God would be a book that men would look at and have no conception of what it meant, what it was saying. But when God, instead of saying that the earth and the sun and all the planets are spinning around their axis, instead of that, God says this, the sun rises, the sun sets. He speaks about the sea and its limitations. He expresses it in language that we are able to understand. And now, with our advanced knowledge And it says in the latter days, knowledge shall be increased. We understand things that God asked Job, and they were beyond Job's comprehension. But now, a man with education, one who has studied the anatomy, could answer God these questions. And so now, if man stood before God, God would ask him questions that were so profound, he would have no answer for them. But at that time, God, where he was in time, asked him certain questions, and he was unable to answer them, but God told him. And so for that reason, God tells Adam that you were created. I created you of the dust of the ground. I created your wife from a rib of your side. And this is what you are, and these are your duties and your responsibilities. Now, I tell you something that is both wonderful and heartbreaking, that God has made two creations. It said that God made man and that God created a garden. God made a garden, a paradise for man. And God took man and put him in paradise. And sin has come into the world, and the Lord Jesus says this as he sits upon the throne, and he is speaking to those sinners who will not have him as Savior. He says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And so the same Savior who created a garden, a paradise for man, if man will not have that paradise, he has also created a hell, and that shall be your destiny. He created the paradise first, and he desired for man to stay there. It's not the will of God that sin should come into the world. And God says this, "I am not willing, it is not my pleasure that the wicked die. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." And it says this, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent and come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." But there are things that God has done that he did not want to do. And those things are as true as the good things that I've told you about, like the universe that God has made. And I have to tell you about the other things that God has made. I tell you about his creatures that at the first were harmless, were docile, and man could live among those creatures. But now I have to tell you of the danger that those creatures have become to man. A serpent now comes, and he is not only one that man can live with, but he will strike you and poison you and destroy you. And all of these animals that at one time were docile and man could live with, now, if you go to those animals, they will attack you and destroy you. But those are things that have happened after Genesis 1 and 2. And those are things, God willing, we shall learn about as the week goes on. But now, God has made man, and he has put him in the garden. And I've told you that I know where I came from. I know all about me because of my mother who brought me into this world. And Adam knew about where he came from because God told him, and God brought him into the world. Now, in the case of Moses, when Moses writes down, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," he is telling us this, that at one time there was no universe. And what is remarkable is that the greatest of the scientists tell us now that matter has not always existed. Some have said it always has, but with the wisdom that God has given them and their understanding, they have searched out the universe and said, "It has not always been. It has been here over 10 billion years, but it has not always been here. There was a time when there was nothing. And so this is the explanation. If you will not have creation, if you will have evolution, this is what they have told you. They have told you that at one time there was nothing. This is their teaching. There was nothing. But suddenly out of nothing, there became something. Matter came into existence, and there was this massive explosion, as they call it, the Big Bang. And that was the beginning of things. And having begun all these billions of years until 4.5 billion years ago, there was no earth. But then the earth was formed. And then they continue and bring it down to millions of years. And they begin with one cell, and they tell you this, that one cell that had no life, no conscious life, it developed, it was able to reproduce itself and increase in complexity and diversity until finally, after so many millions of years, here we are. That is what they tell you. And in my simplicity, I am unable to believe that. It is easier for me to believe because a concept of God that is in me. It is innate in man to know that there is a creator, that he is not independent, that somebody made him. He knows that intuitively. And when he knows that, he can accept that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But if you tell me that at one time there was absolutely nothing, and that with no force behind it, something suddenly came into existence, I tell you that you're out of your mind. You are a bigger fool than I am. You must understand that. And that is what they have told you. There was nothing, but suddenly out of nothing, there became something. And this thing that came into existence had all of these perfect laws that they are able to consider and tell you to a fraction of a second where a planet is going to be at a particular time and send men to the moon. They can tell you all of these things. And yet they will tell you that at one time there was nothing. And then finally, after so many billions of years, there was life. You have death, and then you have life. And then you have life, but you go beyond that, and you have conscious life. And finally, after so many other millions of years, we are here today. I remember years ago, and I cannot recall whether I was a Christian at that time, there was this black man standing on the corner preaching, and he said this. He said, "I can answer any question anybody asks me." And so I went up to him, and I said, "Who made me?" He said, "God." I said, "Who made God?" He said, "Nobody." And I said, "Nobody made God." He said, "Nobody." And I didn't realize it, but that's what I'm telling you this morning. That God made me, and nobody made God, because he is eternal. And this black man standing on a corner, and I do not know what education he had, he was able to answer a question that the most profound ones today are unable to answer. They will not acknowledge it for this reason. God is determined that man acknowledge that he is the one who brought this universe into existence. And he has placed his signature upon it. And he has made it impossible for man not to see it. This is what the psalmist says. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. David looked up into the heavens, and he said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. This is what it says in Romans chapter 1. It said, for the invisible things of God, since the creation of the universe, are clearly seen, being perceived by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that man is without excuse. And so if man says, I see this universe, but it means nothing to me, and no message comes to me, God says, my power and my divinity, my ability to create, is clearly seen by the things that are made. And this also is what the psalmist says. He says concerning creation, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man, that thou visitest him? This is in the first book of the Bible, we are told God created. In the Psalms, we are told God created. And in the last book of the Bible, God is worshipped as the creator. It says, glory and honor and blessing unto God, because you created all things, and because of thy will they were, and they were created. And the first book of the Bible, and all the other books of the Bible, and the last book of the Bible say that God created us, and God has put his signature upon it, and he says, I've made it so that you look at it, and you are without excuse, because this testifies that I have made it. And so, you look at it one or two ways. You look at it as either coming out of nothing, and you say, evolution. And if you do, let me tell you how to live, because the Bible tells you how to live. It says, if there is no resurrection, if the truth that I'm telling you about the Lord Jesus Christ is Savior, if there is no resurrection, the Bible says, eat and drink, because tomorrow you are going to die. It tells you to live just like you are living, a godless existence, because tomorrow you're going to die, and that's the end of things. But it says this, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And if that is so, and if God has created us, if he has a paradise for us, as he had on earth, he has a paradise now for us in heaven, then we cannot live the way that we please. Because as good as God was, he made man understand his limitations, his finiteness, in this way. He said, I've created this world for you, and here is a special place I want you to live in, paradise. He said, you may eat everything that you please, any tree, any food that you wish. It's all you may do. Here is a wife. You may live, do anything you please, but there is one thing you cannot do. One thing you cannot do. There is one tree that you are not permitted to eat of. And that places man in his position of subordination to God, that God has a will, and that will is greater or lesser in instructions as we go through life, and God has to be acknowledged in that twofold way. God has to be acknowledged as the one who made us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. There must be the acknowledgement that God made us. And inasmuch as God made us, God also instructs us how we should live, what is right and what is wrong. And having told us that, acknowledge that God has made us, then I must acknowledge that he has the right to tell me what I may do and what I may not do. And God has at the first given one prohibition, and later on he gives 10 prohibitions and instructions in the 10 commandments, and then he reduces it to 3, and then he gives 1. Listen to this. He hath shown thee, O man, what thou shouldst do, and what doth God require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. This is what Ecclesiastes says. He says, I've considered life, and he says, this is what God requires. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so he has 2 things. And the Lord Jesus was asked what should be done, and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. He said, this is the whole law of God. And so God, who was gentle at first, is gentle now. He says, love me and love your fellow man, and receive my Son, whom I have sent into the world to save you from your sins. Receive him as Savior, and in time I will explain all. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that as our parents told us where we came from, so you have told us, and we accept it from thy word. Our God, thou dost know in our hearts we understand these things, and we long for these things. Thou dost know that we cannot look at ourselves and think that we die, and that is the end of our existence. But, as you have said, all live unto God. We are created in your image and in your likeness, and we are responsible to you. And our Father, we shall all stand before you with joy or with sorrow. And so the Son that you sent from heaven, let us trust him as Savior, and then we shall stand before thee with joy. And let all of us here hear the words of your Son. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. May that be our portion, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.